This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it's time now for the Sports Saturday Show, brought to you by the Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Alan Poganpole, your country financial agent of Raymond. By Prairie Farms Dairy of Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By the Huff Funeral Homes of Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing of Litchfield. By Game Zone Plus of Nokomis. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Bruce Webb Insurance of Farmersville and Raymond. Joining us, WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you, Randy. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's regional championship day across the state, and that means here at WSMI we got a lot going on, so Randy has been pressed into overtime.
How about that?
So you got to see
that. Does that mean I'm going to get paid overtime?
Well, that's not my department. I don't know. Got to take that up with the powers that be.
Okay.
Well. But you're here for extra time.
Yes, I am.
You are, and we appreciate it, keeping us on the air.
That's quite all right.
You have not been on the sports show. We were talking about this earlier for a couple of years, and the last time you were on, it was a special occasion.
Yes, it was. Yeah, we had Tom Cooper was back, one of the better athletes Litchfield High School has ever produced. He's now an executive with Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis. He was back in the area in 2012 for his 40-year class reunion, was kind enough to join us, and myself, we interviewed him for quite a while on the Sports Saturday Show. That was fun.
Yeah, it was. Very, very interesting man.
Yes.
Played football at Missouri, and as you said, an executive for AB. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yes, he's been doing that for, oh my goodness, at least 30, 35 years probably.
Yeah. Living right.
Yeah.
Hey, if you like baseball and softball, you'll be living right today. All sorts of regional championship games are scheduled for around the state. Of course, we're going to have a triple header here on FM 106. We'll have live coverage coming up at about 10:50 this morning of the Class 2A Gillespie Softball Regional Championship, as it has Litchfield taking on Southwestern. David Jenkins will have the call there. Live coverage at 10:50, first pitch scheduled at 11 o'clock. We will then have the broadcast of the Baseball Regional Championship from Gillespie. That has host Gillespie taking on Carlinville. That broadcast at about 1:30 this afternoon on FM 106. Myself and Carl DeBar will be there at Fight Field in Gillespie. And then the third and final championship broadcast of the day comes to you from Morrisonville. T-Tote will have the call of the 1A championship game there, as Nokomis will take on the host Morrisonville Mohawks. And all the action will be streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. But it'll be a fun day of baseball. Looks like the weather is really going to cooperate here.
Won't have a better day than today, I believe.
We had an odd situation the other day. Was Wednesday in Gillespie. It was clear all day. Beautiful day. And then probably about 4 o'clock, all of a sudden it really starts to darken up off to the southwest. And so lightning came. So we went into the old lightning delay in the baseball game. And about 10, 15 minutes later, another strike. So the 30-minute clock had to start over. But already it never rained.
Yeah, I can believe that.
It was so strange. The sky was so dark, lightning, thunder, but it never rained.
It was the same way at our house there. We live just southeast of Raymond. And I go to bed early. So I was in bed a little after 6, and it was about the same story. You could hear the thunder rumble, and you couldn't really see the lightning itself, just the flashes. And there was one that hit pretty close to the house. But it didn't really rain until, I don't know, midnight, 1 or 2 in the morning.
Good old Mother Nature.
How about that?
Always good for a curveball.
Yeah. Yes.
So yes. We got the game back underway eventually, and that was the day that Carlinville defeated Hillsboro in the semifinals 7-4. Then the next day, Gillespie defeated Litchfield, and so the Miners and the Cavaliers will score off for the baseball regional championship in Gillespie. There was a softball regional championship game played yesterday at Ramsey, and Mauquia Central A&M defeated Bethany Ocaw Valley by the final score of 9-3. Let's set the championship games for today. Teams that are around the area here at Lebanon, Mount Olive and Bunker Hill will square off for the 1A softball regional championship. That game coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. At Altamont will take on Stu Strauss. That's an 11 a.m. first pitch. At Dietrich, Oblong and Huntsonville Co-op. That's a 10 o'clock first pitch. At Lewiston, it'll be West Prairie taking on Lewiston. That's an 11 o'clock first pitch. At Pawnee, it is Pawnee and Morrisonville for the regional championship. That is an 11 o'clock first pitch this morning. at Toledo-Cumberland today at 11 o'clock. Caitlin Co-op will take on Toledo-Cumberland. And at Wayne City today at 11 a.m., Wayne City will take on Woodlawn. Those are some of your 1A softball regional championship games scheduled for around the state today. On the baseball side of things, in the 1A baseball ranks at Argenta Orienta, Argenta Orienta will take on Leroy at 10 o'clock this morning. At Jacksonville Route today, Pawnee will take on Route. That is an 11 o'clock first pitch. At Morrisonville, a game you will hear on WSMI FM 106, it will be Nokomis and Morrisonville. At New Athens and Oakville, 10 o'clock first pitch. At Oblong, it's Dietrich and Oblong, also a 10 o'clock first pitch. At North Green today at 11 o'clock, Calhoun will take on North Green. At Winchester, it'll be Griggsville Perry and Mount Sterling Brown County at 11 o'clock. And at Windsor, Windsor takes on Neoga. That is also an 11 o'clock first pitch. In 2A boys baseball, at Beardstown today, Carthage Illini West will take on Beardstown, 10 o'clock first pitch. At Benton, Johnston City will battle Benton, 11 o'clock first pitch scheduled there in Benton. At Chester today, Chester will take on DeCoyne. That's a 1 o'clock first pitch for that regional championship. At Metro East Lutheran today, it'll be Southwestern and Roxana, 10 o'clock first pitch scheduled there in Edwardsville. At McLeansboro today, Carmi White County will take on Mount Carmel at 11 o'clock. At Nashville, Nashville and Freeburg will square off at 11 o'clock this morning. At Pleasant Plains today, it will be Plains and Auburn at 11 o'clock. In Robinson for the regional championship today, T-Town and Marshall, a 10 o'clock first pitch there in Robinson. At Trenton Westland today, no Greenville. They were upset in the semifinals. That's Breeze Central and Trenton Westland. First pitch there, 11 o'clock this morning. At Vandalia today, it'll be Effingham St. Anthony taking on Shelbyville, an 11 o'clock first pitch. And at Williamsville, it will be Williamsville and Warrensburg Latham. First pitch there, high noon. Lots of regional action across the state today. And, of course, girls soccer is underway as well. They played sectional championship games last night. And at Rochester, it was Rochester blanking Litchfield 5-0. So the Lady Panthers season comes to a close. But what a great year it was for the girls Litchfield soccer team. They get all the way to the sectional championship. And no shame in losing to Rochester in girls soccer. So congratulations to Litchfield on another fine season. Other 1A girls soccer scores from the sectional championship action last night. Alton Marquette defeated Columbia by the score of 3-2. And then today at Maroor Forsyth, it'll be Mount Zion and Champaign-St. Thomas More in a 1A girls sectional soccer championship. That will start at 1 o'clock. In girls 2A soccer action last night in regional championship play from Carbondale, it was Carbondale defeated Marion 4-1. At Jacksonville High School last night in a regional championship, Chatham-Glenwood defeated Jacksonville High 3-2. At Muscuda, Triad defeated Waterloo 6-1. At Mattoon, Mattoon downed Danville 2-1. And at SHG, it was Sacred Heart Griffin over Springfield High 3-2. In 3A girls soccer regional championship action last night at Belleville West, Collinsville defeated West 5-0. And at Granite City, Edwardsville defeated Granite City in penalty kicks 2-1. So, Randy, even though the school year is winding down, this really is one of the busier times for the IHSA because have so many different state series going on at the same time. When football's happening, you know, you got football and volleyball. Basketball basically stands alone, but you got track. You got baseball, you got softball, you got soccer. Of course, the bass fishing just wrapped up not that long ago.
I forgot about that.
Yes. That was over at Carlisle.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Has been for a long time.
Yes, it has. Well,
we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with David Jenkins. He will have the call of the softball championship game today from Gillespie. We'll also be catching up with Terry Toad. He will have the call from Morrisonville and that baseball regional championship later this afternoon. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400. Game Zone Plus in Nokomis has what you're looking for. Game Zone Plus has new and used laptops, tablets, cell phones, video game consoles and controllers, TVs, and a wide variety of electronic accessories. They also buy, sell, trade, and rent video games and DVDs. New releases too. Game Zone Plus also offers expert computer and smartphone service and repair. Remember to shop local. Game Zone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 7, Saturday 9 to 9, Sunday noon to 6.
9:15 on this Saturday morning, color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods of Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies today, highs in the upper 70s with light southeast winds. Tonight becoming cloudy, low temperatures in the low 60s. And for tomorrow, Sunday, cloudy skies, a slight chance of a shower, highs in the low 80s. Your extended forecast for Monday through Wednesday, partly cloudy with a day-to-day chance of a shower, lows in the mid-60s, highs in the low 80s. Right now, 69 degrees at the Weather Center.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Now back to the Sports Saturday Show. Once again, Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, Randy Prangy. Big day of regional championship action here on FM 106. We will have a triple header beginning at 11 o'clock this morning with the softball championship from Gillespie that has Litchfield taking on Southwestern. Then at 1:30 today, we will stay in Gillespie, switch over to the baseball diamond, and have Gillespie and Carthenville for that baseball regional championship. And the third broadcast of the day comes from Morrisonville. The 1A regional championship there has Nokomis and the host Morrisonville Mohawks. And Terry Tote will have the call of that ball game. And Terry is on the scene right now. And T. Tote, what's it look like in Morrisonville?
Well, as anybody who looks out their window this morning can discover, it's an absolutely gorgeous day. I don't know that we've had a great week of weather like we've had this week in regional tournament play for many seasons, it seems like. But I think we're in for a terrific day and hopefully a good ball game this today between Nokomis and Morrisonville. Of course, Nokomis, the top seed in the regional tournament. And when you look at this regional tournament, really all the games have been close with the exception of the semifinal round game when Nokomis beat Lincolnwood 12-1. But the other games have been close. And I think when you look at this regional tournament, you have to say, okay, who's playing the best baseball now at the end of the year? And certainly you have to take a look at Nokomis, because if you go all the way back to the county baseball tournament, Tim, you remember they were right around the 500 mark. And now they've put together a pretty good run down the last few weeks of the regular season. That's not to take anything away from Morrisonville. Of course, the Mohawks are rather hungry for a regional championship, and playing here on their home field, they would like nothing more than to knock off the Redskins today.
And Morrisonville, Terry, is one of those schools, they have a proud tradition.
Oh, they do. They do. And this is, you know, these guys have played great baseball. This program has been very good under Bob Montgomery for many, many years. And, you know, they just have had some tough breaks along the way, trying to get out of the regional tournament play. But certainly, and I don't know that home field advantage in baseball has much more of a really has any context there, because Morrisonville will be the visiting team today. They're the lower seed. So, you know, that sort of thing you maybe can throw out the window. But they're playing for pride, as are the Redskins. And we know that Nokomis and Morrisonville will definitely go at it tooth and nail for the regional championship today. And the winner of this game will move on to the Carlindale Sectional hosted by Blackburn College. And they will get the winner, I believe, from New Athens. And I think New Athens, the Yellow Jackets, are the top seed in their regional tournament there. So that'll be a 4:30 game on Wednesday afternoon. The winner of this game will play Wednesday.
Jared, that is an oddity about baseball, to where the value of the home field advantage is really that you get to bat last, but you get into the postseason play here. Even though it's at Morrisonville, they don't have that advantage. So home field really does mean nothing today.
It really doesn't. I mean, if you're hosting a regional basketball tournament, and even though you may be wearing the visiting uniform, you're still playing on your home floor. Mm-hmm. But here in baseball, it really doesn't mean that much. And of course, kudos to Bob Montgomery and the people here at Morrisonville. They do such a great job of hosting a tournament. The field is spectacularly in perfect condition, and they've just been great hosts. And we hope for a great baseball game today. And I think our triple header today might be an interesting day of baseball. And before I leave you here, good congratulations to Litchfield, the girls soccer team, Tim. What a tremendous season the Panthers had. They set a lot of records, met a lot of goals. They didn't get past a very good Rochester team, who has traditionally been one of the top teams in the state of Illinois in girls soccer. But what a terrific season for the Lady Panthers soccer team.
Yeah, it was. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention, you know, you talked about home field advantage. I think it might still be in Morrisonville's favor, because they might know a few little things about their ballpark that Nokomis wouldn't.
Well, the one thing about Morrisonville, they're hungry for this. They are hungry for this. They want nothing more than to win this regional tournament. So, you know, baseball's a goofy game. You never know.
You're
what's
kind.
And we'll just let things unfold and have a great time.
Well, and Nokomis probably is the team, Terry, that's gotten in Morrisonville's way more than any other when trying to advance out of the regional.
Nokomis has gotten in a lot of people's way.
Yes,
over
they
the years.
Have. No matter the sport.
Yeah, and baseball's not been the only sport. You put these two teams on the field together and let them go, and we couldn't ask for a better day to play baseball, and good luck to both the Redskins and the Mohawks today as they battle it out for the regional championship here at Morrisonville.
That's exactly right. Tito will have the broadcast of that ball game. You'll hear it at about 3:30 this afternoon here on WQSMI FM 106. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, guys, and have a great day.
All right, so that will be game number 3. Game number 1 will be live at 11 o'clock this morning. Softball action with Litchfield taking on Southwestern. When I ran down all the regional championships, I knew I was missing something, Randy.
What's that?
Two-way softball.
Oh.
I knew I had it, but it was buried at the bottom of my stack of papers.
Well, like we've talked about already, all the things going on.
There's a lot.
Something's going to get lost in the shuffle.
I think I took down a couple redwood trees getting all these things printed out here.
Just a couple.
But it's only one day.
Yeah.
So let's give you the 2A regional championship games for softball today across the state. At Hillsboro, Dupo will battle Staunton. That is an 11 o'clock first pitch. We mentioned at Gillespie, of course, Litchfield and Southwestern coming up live at 10:50 this morning right here on FM 106. At Downs Tri-Valley today, Tremont and Downs Tri-Valley. That's an 11 o'clock first pitch. At Harrisburg, Carmi-Wide County in Harrisburg at 11 o'clock. In Casey Westfield today for the 2A Regional Softball Championship, T-Town and Marshall at 11 o'clock. At Buffalo Tri-City, it is Williamsville and Buffalo Tri-City. That is an 11 o'clock first pitch. At Athens today, it'll be Plains and Athens at 11 o'clock first pitch. Down at Anna Jonesboro, Carterville and Maysock County at 11 o'clock this morning. In Lawrenceville today, Fairfield and Lawrenceville, they will begin at 11 o'clock. At Redbud, it is Nashville and Waterloo Jabot. That is an 11 o'clock first pitch. And at Vandalia today, in a 2A softball sectional regional championship, it'll be Greenville and Breeze Central. That is scheduled for an 11 o'clock first pitch. And at Rushville, Havana and Beardstown at 11 o'clock this morning. I believe joining us on the phone right now is David Jenkins. He is in Welfare Park in Gillespie. David, how are you doing this morning?
Maybe we don't have him after all.
You know what happened already? Telos might not have get cleared out if you hit the two 253 buttons down there.
Thought I did.
Do it again.
Wait,
it might cycle right out and bring him back.
I bet it will. Let's see.
Historically, that has been
the
case.
Green, I thought I took care of that. There we go. Now he's there.
David, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tim? It's a beautiful day, like Terry said, here in Gillespie. So that not only affects the game that I'll be calling, but it also affects the game that you'll be calling.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll both be in Gillespie today. And, David, you've had a very interesting week of regional play over there at Welfare Park. Just kind of recap the exciting regional that has been taking place in Gillespie.
Absolutely. Started off Monday evening with the play-in game between the Carlinville Cavaliers and the North Mac Panthers. Really, Carlinville being the 4 seed, North Mac being the 5 seed, it lived up to the expectations that it should have been, being the opening game, because although Carlinville jumped out to a 6-0 lead on their home ball field, North Mac fought their way back to cut it within 2-6-4 and had the fifth run on third base in the top of 7th inning, just couldn't push that run home. And Collinsville became victorious and advanced to play Litchfield. That game was on Tuesday evening here at Welfare Park, and Litchfield edged them out thanks to a big game, not only on the mound by Tessa Beckham, but also at the plate, as she had a two-run homer and a two-run triple to drive in 4 runs all of her own. And then Southwestern defeated Gillespie, and kind of part of that odd weather day on Wednesday. Obviously, you and I both in Gillespie for ball games, but our delay started kind of a little bit later than yours because the thunder and lightning wasn't spotted as quickly. And then we actually resumed before you did, but just a really quick game, really well-played game by both the Southwestern Pie Sawbirds and the Gillespie Miners. Southwestern ended up becoming victorious.
And you saw a no-hit bid in that Southwestern game.
Yes, that was quietly a no-hitter. Obviously, a heck of a pitching performance by Bailey Stahl of the Southwestern Pie Sawbirds, and, you know, You never would have noticed that it was a no-hitter by talking to anybody that was going on, because it just didn't seem like that kind of game. But fantastic pitching performances. She only allowed 3 walks. I believe only struck out 2 in the game, but like you said, didn't allow a single hit, and that was a big part of it.
Of course, Southwestern's one of these local teams, a very strong softball tradition. Litchfield, of course, they've been very strong in softball the last number of years. So very intriguing matchup you have today, David, for this regional championship.
It is, and if you remember, 1 year ago, Southwestern and Litchfield faced off against each other in the Litchfield sectional semifinal. Southwestern came away with a win there by a final score of 9-4, and a lot of the players on both of those teams returning for the game this year and the regional championship. So these two teams obviously familiar with each other in the postseason.
Well, of course, David, they've had some battles on the basketball floor the last couple of years as well. Kind of turned into not – rivals is probably too strong of a word in the basketball sense, but they have played some very aggressive, very competitive ball games against each other in the past, so the intensity will be high today.
No, that's exactly right. More so on the girls' side of things for these two athletic programs, it's like you said, rivalry may be a bit of a strong word, but it's really kind of become quite the competition between the two, with girls' basketball basically being one team being the top seed, the next being the 2 seed in a regional. Same thing with the softball program, although last year they were obviously in different regionals, but to match up in the sectional. Both programs really strong. Obviously, Litchfield, more of the newcomers as of late as far as their softball program, because they've really had an outstanding program the last few years under Jen Bitter and Amber Allen. Of course, Jen Bitter now the head coach for the Purple Panthers. But Southwestern, historically, a strong athletic program, really, in all sports.
No doubt about it. Well, David, we will have you live coming up here at 10:50 this morning, as you will have the call of Litchfield and Southwestern for the 2A Regional Championship from Welfare Park in Gillespie. Enjoy the ball game.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. David Jenkins, already in Gillespie at Welfare Park. And you heard him mention it, right? We were talking earlier about the weather. It was funny. We were both in Gillespie, but Welfare Park kind of sits down in the trees a little bit, so you can't quite see as well. So we actually went into our weather delay 12 minutes before they did over in Welfare Park. We had a second sighting, so we had to restart our clock.
Right.
But yet at Welfare Park, there was no second sighting. So they had one stoppage and they went. So they stopped after us and started before us. It was just an odd thing. I never knew lightning took so far to travel through Gillespie.
Well,
it must have got lost.
It's a bigger town than we thought, I guess.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, it travels at the speed of light. It's a big town.
And, of course, that weather rule, it's a necessary rule. It can get a bit agitated at times like it did on Wednesday, because it was a beautiful day. The sun was out. The skies were blue. But You got to wait until you've had 30 consecutive minutes without any lightning, and they've added thunder to that now as well. So you could be at 29 minutes, and if there's lightning or thunder, you got to start over.
And the clock starts again, and
off you go to count into 30 minutes again. So, you know, there was some frustration with fans and probably broadcasters and umpires alike on Wednesday, but if you don't have a rule like that, bad things would happen.
And they have happened before.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my thought was, why not just switch to wooden bats if there's weather in the area? would that not be better? That wouldn't help?
Yeah, and maybe
it
like
do anything?
Like wood bleachers too.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Yeah. Like in football, when you get these weather delays, they basically tell people to get off the bleachers,
right,
get out. But like during the baseball, we were just all kind of milling around, you know, leaning on the fence, leaning on the bleachers.
Hiding under a tree.
Best place to be, right?
Yeah, right.
What could go wrong under there?
What could go wrong under there?
Yeah. I don't see anything that could happen.
Nah.
But in all seriousness, it's a good and necessary rule, and it all worked out for the best. The ball game got underway. It actually worked out good for Hillsboro that day. They kind of seized the momentum back. Carmville had a 5-0 lead in the game before the weather delay.
Gave them a chance to regroup.
It did. Hillsboro came back, scored 4. Next thing you know, it's a 1-run ball game going to the 5th inning. So that's the thing about baseball and softball too, Randy. Momentum can switch so quickly.
On just one play, on one pitch.
One pitch.
Yeah, pitch.
That's exactly right. 9:30 here on your Saturday morning. Sports Saturday needs another break. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Farmer-owned Prairie Farms, a name that belongs on your shopping list. With fresh strawberries in your favorite market, Prairie Farms dairy products have become even more important. Prairie Farms half and half for cereal topped with red ripe strawberries. Prairie Farms whipped cream for shortcake. And for a delicious low-calorie treat to dip your strawberries in, delicious Prairie Farms yogurt. And to energize for outdoor activities, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Grow your own way.
From auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement, Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you, just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
Experiencing aches, pains, or an injury? Teamwork Rehab can help you. Our Hillsboro location has the only aquatic therapy program in Montgomery County. Aquatic therapy provides effective therapeutic treatment for those who have limited tolerances for traditional land-based rehab. At Teamwork Rehab, you always have one-on-one individualized care provided by a certified, licensed professional. Give Teamwork Rehab a call at 532-4160 for all your physical therapy needs. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
Back with Sports Saturday once again, Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, Randy Prangy. We are counting down to our triple header coverage of regional championship action today here on FM 106. Coming up at 10:50 this morning from the Gillespie 2A softball regional, Litchfield takes on Southwestern. First pitch at 11. Live coverage for you here on FM 106. Then at 1:30 this afternoon, we will stay in Gillespie. We will move over to Fight Field on the high school campus and have the 2A baseball championship game as Gillespie takes on Carthenville, broadcast time 1:30. That will be followed up by the 1A Morrisonville regional championship game with Morrisonville taking on Nokomis. That broadcast at about 3:30 this afternoon. All the action here on FM 106, and it will all be streaming online as well at WSMIRadio.com. So we've been talking about the busy nature of the IHSA, all the different state series going on. We've told you about the girls' soccer, the baseball, and the softball, obviously. Also, state track and field is going on today, and they had the qualifying rounds yesterday for the 1A high school girls. And moving into the finals today, Kaylee Morris of Gillespie, she has qualified in the long jump, the high jump, and the triple jump. So congratulations to Kaylee Morris of Gillespie. Megan Staton from Carthenville, she has advanced to the finals in the discus throw. And Tatum Rosentrader from Gillespie has advanced to the finals in the 300-meter hurdles. And in Class 2A, Maddie Carter of Greenville has advanced in the pole vault. The pole vault, Randy, that event I've never understood. That's crazy to me. You know, like how does I get track and field, running, power, throwing things. How does someone decide that it was a good idea to get a long pole and try to vault yourself as high as you can over a bar? Who comes up with this?
I don't know. I bet it's been around a long time, but yeah, who dreamed that up?
Right. And what did they do the night before? What did they take? You know, like some ancient Greek did something. And they came up with the pole vault.
I guess they use that to vault their Spartans over the wall of Troy or
there
something
you go.
Like that.
You go. Maybe it really did have a practical purpose like that. It probably did.
I can see somebody trying that with slings and arrows coming at you.
I think you're right. I like your answer. I'm going with that.
Okay, as good as explanation as any.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Kaylee Morris, Megan Staton, Tatum Rosentrader, and Maddie Carter, all advancing to the state finals in 1A girls track and field. In boys track and field sectional competition in the 110-meter high hurdles advancing, Devin Lightshue of Greenville finished in second place in the 300-meter intermediate hurdles. Devin Lightshue of Greenville finished third and advanced into the next round of play. So congratulations to all the high school track and field athletes. Also, the IESA State Track and Field Finals. They went on yesterday, and in girls' seventh grade results in the discus, Lexi Bates from Carthenville finished eighth, and Macy Walker from Carthenville finished 52nd. In the 1,600-meter run, Samantha Matouche from Hillsborough finished 43rd, and Kylie Kaczynski of North Mac finished 50th. In the long jump in girls' 7th grade state final track results, Alexis Eaglehoff of Carthenville finished 28th. In the shot put, it was Madeline Diber of Greenville finishing 2nd, Lexi Bates of Carthenville finishing 10th, and Kaylee Hanner from Hillsboro finishing 19th. In the mentioned pole vault, 7th grade pole vault, mind you, Emma Smith of Carthenville finished 5th, and Molly Lewis of Carthenville finished 13th. In the 400-meter dash, Alexis Eaglehoff of Carthenville finished 16th. Rachel Olroyd of Carthenville finished 17th. Haley Schwick of North Mac finished 22nd. Regan Lewis of North Mac finished 46th. Deanna Jackson of Hillsboro finished 47th. In boys' 7th grade track results in the 1,600-meter run, Griffin Bianco of Staunton finished 20th. In boys' 8th grade state track results, in the long jump, Marshall Hatley of Gillespie finished 13th. Cameron Rainey of Carthenville finished 19th. In the 400-meter dash, Gavin Mays of North Mac finished 28th. And in the 1,600-meter run for boys' 8th grade track, Jason Landon of Carthenville placed 31st. And, of course, those place numbers are for the entire state.
Right.
So you think 50th? Yeah, 50th out of how many thousand?
Yeah. Very,
a lot.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yes, so congratulations to all those young athletes for a fine job in the state track and field tournament, which was held yesterday. But yeah, that pole vault, 7th grade pole vault, that takes guts.
Sure does.
Takes guts.
Well, a lot of them. Some of them kids are even big enough to pick up the pole.
You wonder.
Yeah.
Like you watch that in the Olympics, and they've got like different lengths of poles, you know, like they're playing the wind, of course, and it's almost like a mathematical equation, I guess.
Well, I mean, you just look at it, there's a lot of geometry involved.
There is.
I mean, and then you're talking about, you know, the type of pole they used. I don't know what they're made of. I guess fiberglass or something like that.
I guess,
the bend you get with it and then the reaction you get.
And, you know, sometimes you'll see them, they'll get to the top, but then they won't go over the bar, so they're just like sitting there, you know, however many feet up in the air.
Yeah, well, I think, what is the Olympic record? I think it's 18 feet, 19 feet, something like that.
Something crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then even in the high school, they're vaulting, what, 15, 16 feet?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what the high school athlete can do now compared to what they could do 15 years ago.
Well, you know, they've paid a lot more attention to nutrition. They pay a lot more attention to training. especially nutrition. I think that has become a lot more important than it has been in the past.
Yeah, that is the biggest difference, whether it's high school, college, or professional.
At any level, yes. Yes.
Well, as we talk about in Major League Baseball, about how the purpose of spring training used to be these guys needed a month to get into playing shape because
right.
they had jobs all winter.
Yeah, that's exactly
Whereas
right.
Whereas now this is their job, so they come into spring training in shape.
Football's the same way.
That's right.
Yeah, football was the same way. I remember reading a story about the old Philadelphia linebacker, Chuck Bednarik. They called him Concrete Charlie because in the offseason he sold concrete. That's what he did. Yeah. And then he went to training camp to get in shape to play football. Now they're working at football all year round, of course.
Now if you show up to training camp and you're not in shape, you're getting fined.
Fined? You're getting fired.
Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Unless you're really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, certain, if the quarterback shows up a little overweight,
yeah,
you got a few extra pounds, I want you to get them off.
And if, if your name is Brady,
right, you're fine.
You're cool.
Right, but if you're the third string defensive tackle, you better show up in shape ready to play.
Yeah, you better have your concrete sales job lined up.
There was a Rams running back a few years ago, cannot remember the guy's name, but I believe he worked at Jimmy John's in the offseason. He never saw the field much for him. He was like the third string tailback. But he worked for Jimmy John's.
I think where did I see that?
Because it wound up being a big national story just from the standpoint of a professional athlete actually working a job.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen.
Like the football the way it is now is not a job?
Right. Well, it's a different type of job, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure a different type of job.
Yes.
It certainly is.
Of course, they've got issues now, apparently. Another lawsuit has been filed against the NFL. Did you see this?
Yes, I did.
Over prescription pills?
Yes.
That could be a problem for the NFL.
Yeah, it depends. Well, I think it's up to their legal team to figure out a defense, and I'm sure they will.
But, well, yeah, I mean, there's no way this surprised them. They had to see this coming down the pipeline. But, boy, you got a lot of ex-players lining up in a lot of different venues here to try to get a piece of the NFL.
You
remember Mark Cuban said a couple months ago that he thought in 10 years the NFL was basically going to crumble, and people kind of scoffed at it? Things like this is how you wind up going down that road.
This is the little snowball that you toss at the top of the hill and starting it on its way down,
right.
Maybe.
I mean, they've been Teflon to this point. Basically, everything just kind of bounces right off of them. But start getting these types of lawsuits – where are the players going to come from 15, 20 years from now? That's where they're going to have the problem. If it becomes a true safety issue 15 years from now, how many kids are going to be playing?
Well, it kind of makes you wonder, too, how they're going to develop the equipment. And I think a lot of the football equipment, helmets, pads, that sort of thing, is going to change.
It almost has to, because, I mean, they've gone about as far as they can, making it as safe as they can with the equipment that they have. I mean, even at the high school level, you see it on Friday nights around the area. It's amazing the number of trainers that are there, the concussion protocols that go on, just, taking care of ankle injuries, knee injuries. I mean, the care that goes into taking care of these athletes to make sure that they can play, even at the high school level, is really up there.
Well, that's a good thing, especially at the high school level, because a lot of them young people are still growing. And, a lot of injuries that they might sustain to their knees, ankles, and such could really, really affect them years down the road.
That's exactly right. And that was always kind of my thinking when the NFL started to change their policies and the way the game is played and trying to take the violence out of the game. I thought they did it backwards. To me, you start at the JFL level, you change the rules there and up through high school. So by the time that those kids get to the pros, that's how they play.
Yeah.
When you try to change an NFL player, they've been playing that way their whole lives. They got rich playing that way. And now you're trying to tell them they can't play that way. It's a good, it's one of those things. It's a good idea, but I think it would work better if they just implemented it from the ground up instead of from the top down.
But the problem is they want results immediately.
Well, you're right.
And what you're talking about is certainly valid. It would work, but it would take years.
And you're exactly right, Randy. They need results that they can show the judge when they're in court that says, we've taken these steps to try to make the game safer.
But, trumping all of this is all this violence that we've been talking about. That's what put fans in the stands.
That's exactly right.
Yes. That's what a lot of fans come to see is some guy get his block knocked off that they don't like and their favorite linebacker, defensive tackle, lineman, whatever, doing it.
That's right. That's why it's the gladiator sport.
It's exactly right.
Yeah. I didn't start watching the NFL to see 50-point games and the quarterback
no.
throw for 400 yards.
No.
I want to see somebody go over the middle and get laid out and bring the smelling salts out. Wake him up! Wake him up!
Yeah, like Nitschke in that movie. It doesn't do anything. Yeah.
So, interesting times for the National Football League, and we'll see how that develops as it moves through the legal system.
Well, not only that, you mentioned interesting times for the National Football League is the Rams drafting Michael Sam.
Yeah.
That will be interesting. But, you know, I think what the Rams, and to their credit, I think what they're trying to do is keep it on the field involved with football and leaving the politics out of it.
And Jeff Fisher is the perfect guy, I think, for this situation because he is such a strong leader and so comfortable in his own skin. If he has to cut Michael Sam, he's got the guts to do it, and he's got the credibility to stand by it as a pure football move.
Yeah. Well, I think Michael Sam was drafted, as you just mentioned, as a football move. And if it comes to that, he will be released as a football player.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which
right.
is as it should be.
Right. I think he'll make the team, though. You know, the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, he can play in the league. He's not going to be a star, but he can certainly play in the league.
He ain't no slouch.
No. No, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. He's got a pretty good idea.
Right.
Well, you know, and we've talked about this before, what it depends on more than anything for Michael Sam is can he get coached up to play at this level.
Right, and he doesn't have to step in and be Robert Quinn or Chris Long.
No.
They have Robert Quinn and Chris Long.
Yes, they've already got Robert Quinn and Chris Long to be Robert Quinn and Chris Long.
Exactly. So, you know, committing guys to them, all of a sudden Michael Sam's coming free off the edge. Could be a perfect fit for him.
Ooh.
That's a scary thought.
No, it's not for me.
Proud season
goes back
over.
To what we talked about before, what puts fans in the stands at football games.
That's it. Nothing like that hit that Jadanian Clowney had in that bowl game a few years ago where he knocked the dude's helmet off and picked the ball up with one hand. That's what people want from football.
Yep,
that's what they want.
Yeah, that is what they want.
We need one more break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Be sure to visit Benel's Italian American Days celebration May 23rd through the 26th and enjoy free Wi-Fi service. Compliments of Madison Communications, your local high-speed internet provider. Madison wants to keep you connected while enjoying local area summer events. Just connect to Madison free Wi-Fi and text, talk, and treat yourself to free internet access on Madison. Congratulations to all the seniors at Carlinville High School from Stars Primal Meats on South Plum Street in Carlinville, the Cubby Hole in Carlinville, and Kibbles and Clips Grooming on North Broad Street in Carlinville.
Carlinville seniors include Caitlin Buckner, Damian Birch, Brittany Burns, Christopher Callahan, Cody Cameron, James Christian, and Jeffrey Connor.
At 9:47, color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by CarQuest of Carlinville and Jacksonville. Partly cloudy skies today, high temperatures in the upper 70s, with light southeast winds. Tonight becoming cloudy, low temperatures in the low 60s. And for tomorrow, Sunday, cloudy skies, a slight chance of a shower, highs in the low 80s. Your extended forecast for Monday through Wednesday, partly cloudy, a day-to-day chance of a shower, low temperatures in the mid-60s, highs in the low 80s. Right now, south winds at 9 miles per hour, the barometric pressure is steady, partly cloudy skies, 71 degrees. This check of color radar weather brought to you by CarQuest of Carlinville and Jacksonville. Back to the Sports Saturday Show once again, Tim Mice.
Thank you, Randy. Just got a text from our buddy Donnie Downs, loyal listener, and he said, bring back the leather helmets, no face masks.
There you go.
You know what? Donnie's probably joking. He's not often very serious. But the no face mask thing, I actually think, would be an interesting idea because these guys are so protected and shielded up. If you don't have a face mask on, you're less likely, I think, to launch your face into a dude's head.
Well,
you got to worry about getting your teeth knocked out or your nose busted.
They don't really do it that way. I think they kind of lead with the top of their head. more than anything, because I think they kind of ducked their head once they got somebody lined up.
No, that's right. But that face mask provides them a certain amount of
protection
and comfort. You know, they feel they feel like they're protected.
Makes them bolder.
That's the word,
you know,
right
you,
there.
You look at pictures of some of these football players from 30 and 40 years ago, and all they had was one bar, or a single bar face mask over their mouth, and
their
that was
nose
it.
Cranked sideways, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Broken nose is better than a concussion, right?
Gee, what a choice.
What's option C?
Maybe you don't want to know.
Maybe you don't want to know. Last night on the Major League Baseball diamond, the Redbirds were in Cincinnati, and they lost to the Redlegs 5-3. Todd Frazier hit a three-run homer in that ballgame, and then the Reds won it, going away 5-3. Another National League action last night, the Dodgers blanked Philly 2-0. Pittsburgh over Washington 4-3. Milwaukee defeated Miami 9-5, so they gained a game on the Cardinals. Atlanta over Colorado 3-2. San Diego hammered the Cubs 11-1. Was that the mercy rule? They only have to play five innings there?
I wonder.
Boy, the poor Cubs. They need the mercy rule at times.
Sometimes. Everybody does. What about that couple weeks when the Cardinals lost? Well, to the Cubs, 17-5.
Yeah, when you play 162, there's going to be a handful of games where you think, oh, I wish it was high school and we had the mercy rule.
You're going to end up wailing on somebody, and then somebody's going to end up wailing on you.
That's exactly right. Yeah. In the American League last night, Baltimore defeated Cleveland 8-4. Toronto over Oakland 3-2. Detroit defeated Texas 7-2. Tampa Bay blanked Boston 1-0. The White Sox over the Yankees 6-5. The Yankees will be in Busch Stadium beginning on Memorial Day for Day Baseball that you'll hear on AM 1540 at 2:20. The Angels defeated Kansas City 6-1. Seattle over Houston 6-1, and your interleague game last night was San Francisco defeating Minnesota 6-2. Interleague game every day now, just like last year with the even leagues now.
Oh, boy.
To me, you got to get the DH in the National League now, I think.
Ah.
With there being an interleague game every day, these pitchers making so much money, I don't want to see a pitcher for the Cardinals get hurt like Joe Kelly did running the bases, tearing a hamstring. We saw Chris Carpenter get hurt swinging the bat. We saw Mark Pryor get hurt running the bases upended. Who knows what that did to his career? But the big thing to me, though, is when you've got an interleague game every day, the rules should be the same. They've got two different sets of rules.
You're right. But the idea of interleague play, I don't like it. Why should the Cardinals play games with the Cubs or the Dodgers or somebody when they can play the Minnesota Twins?
I see what you're saying. The traditional nature.
Play the Toronto Blue Jays, whoop-de-doo.
The traditional nature of baseball does kind of work against interleague play, I would say. And I'm a traditionalist in the sense I like the National League style. So if all things were equal, I say get rid of the DH and just have the pitcher bat in every league. But that's never going to happen.
Nope.
As Uncle Ralph would have said, M-O-N-E-Y.
Right.
There's too much money in the designated position, so the union will never let it go away. Then, so why not just adopt it in both leagues, and it would work good. Boy, if the National League had the DH now, the Cardinals really wouldn't have many problems because Oscar Tavares would be up, and he would just be the DH. They've got so much talent right now, logjam in the outfield. The Cardinals, really more than any National League team, need the designated hitter to become the rule now.
Well, they need
quickly.
Or they need to figure out a trade.
Well, something.
Yeah.
You got to get Oscar Tavares out of AAA and on to the big club. I'm not buying this noise that there's no place for him to play. Are you kidding me?
There's room out there.
There
somewhere.
Is room out there. You know, whether you put him in center field or whether you put him in right field and put Alan Craig at first base and have Matt Adams coming off the bench, either way.
Put him as a rover or something? I don't know.
I don't care. Just get him in the lineup. I mean, this kid is too good to be sitting down in AAA.
Yeah.
Especially the Cardinals are playing better baseball now, much better baseball now. But when they were struggling a few weeks ago, boy, it's like, boy, you're going to keep this kid down there?
Yeah, what would they have had to lose if they brought him up? Well, of course, you know, that's one thing the Cardinals, they've never been real quick to rush some of these hot prospects up to the big club.
That's right, and it's hard to fault them for that because you see other teams rush them up, you see those kids falter, and they never reach their full potential. So it's hard to argue with their philosophy because it generally works so well. But we've heard so much about this kid for so long. It's like, come on.
Yeah, let's just see what he can do.
Let's see what he can do.
I mean, he's either going to do it or he's not.
He's either going to be Albert Pujols or Colby Rasmus. Or maybe somewhere, probably wind up somewhere in between, odds are. As long as he ain't Colby Rasmus, we'll be okay. He doesn't have to be Albert. Just don't be Colby.
Yeah.
Just don't be Colby.
Yeah, somewhere in the vicinity, closer to Albert than Colby.
In the healthy middle, we'll take that.
Yes. A healthy middle toward the top, you know, the top middle, whatever. Perfectly acceptable.
That would be just fine by just about everybody.
Thank you very much.
In the Cardinal organization, yes.
Let's see, what else we got to talk about?
What else is on our mind, Randy? Well, you know what's today? The Belmont Stakes.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Did you hear about that flap with that horse and his
nasal strips?
Nasal strips,
I did hear about this.
Yeah. I didn't know they had such a thing.
That they had nasal strips or they had a rule against them?
No, that they had nasal strips for horses.
I didn't either. These racing horses, though, I mean, they're treated better than some people.
They are literally and figuratively a different breed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're treated better than some people.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
But what's cool about California Chrome, the horse who's going for the Triple Crown. Everyone pretty much knows the story by now, probably. This isn't some sort of horse that was brought through the best breeding lines of the great racing horses. This is just a regular horse, bought, I think, for $10,000. And now it's worth millions and millions of dollars and could be the first Triple Crown winner since, 1978. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
Hello.
Cash registers are ringing on some farm somewhere.
To me, now that, you want to talk about American dreams, that's an American dream.
Yeah.
Buy, you know, relatively speaking, a cheap racehorse. And next thing you know.
Well, I guess any more for a horse flush like that, $10,000 is nothing.
Not for those racing horses. Yeah. You know, when you're getting a big-time premier racing horse, I mean, they're paying, who knows how many hundreds of thousands they're paying for the breeding rights just to get the animal. You know, it's crazy.
What a job.
What a job. But these guys who bought this horse.
Somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it. It would have been disaster, though, for horse racing if Belmont would have said, you can't race.
Well, he was not going to run without it.
Right.
According to the owner.
Yeah, he said,
who knows how much money he would be throwing away by not having a chance to win the Triple Crown.
And at the same time, how much money would Belmont have been throwing away if he hadn't raced? Because interest isn't there. The crowd is down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was beneficial for both parties.
Well,
a lot of money to be made.
What you mentioned, what Uncle Ralph used to say.
And, you know, when the first time he said that, I remember like, but the more he said it, it's like, you know, that is exactly right.
That's
no matter what it is in sports, it always comes down to money.
Outside of the efforts of the high school kids we've been talking about, that's the fulcrum of it.
Yeah, at the professional ranks. I mean, it is all money.
Yeah.
That's all they care about, bottom line business.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I'll be rooting for California Chrome today.
Oh, yeah,
I think
me
it'd be
too.
Cool.
It'll be great. Yeah, it'll be great. We, like you say, we haven't had a Triple Crown winner in almost 40 years. I remember Secretariat. That goes back to when I was in high school.
Okay. And how cool would it be, too, if this was just like a regular horse?
Yeah, like a Mr. Ed type or something like that, you know.
If that horse starts talking after the race, I'm going to be really freaked out.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank all the people who helped me along the way. That little man for riding on my back the whole time.
Yeah, not kicking me too hard.
Not kicking me too hard. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So that comes up today, probably about 5:30, I guess. I don't know what the exact start time is, but it's generally right around there. We've got a triple header of regional championship action for you today on FM 106. We've got live coverage in 1 hour from Gillespie in the 2A softball regional. It'll be Litchfield and Southwestern. Live coverage coming up 10:50 this morning on WQSMI FM 106. We will then have coverage from the baseball regional in Gillespie at Fight Field. It will be Gillespie and Carthenville, that broadcast at 1:30. And then at 3:30 this afternoon, from the 1A Morrisonville Baseball Regional, it will be Morrisonville and Nokomis. That broadcast at 3:30 this afternoon here on WQSMI FM 106. All the action streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. We want to recognize our athletes again at the junior high level who advanced into state play and have completed their competition. Lexi Bates and Macy Walker of Carthenville. Samantha Matush of Hillsboro. Kylie Kaczynski of North Mac, Alexis Eaglehoff of Carthenville, Madeline Diber of Greenville, Kaylee Hanner of Hillsboro, Emma Smith and Molly Lewis of Carthenville, Rachel Olroyd of Carthenville, Haley Swick of North Mac, Regan Lewis of North Mac, and Deanna Jackson of Hillsborough. Also, congratulations on the boys' side to Griffin Bianco of Staunton, Marshall Hatley of Gillespie, Cameron Rainey of Carlinville, Gavin Hayes of North Mac, and Jason Landon of Carlinville. Congratulations to all those junior high athletes and their success in track and field. Well, Sports Saturday is out of time here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Going to be a beautiful day. Get out and enjoy some championship baseball and softball around the area. We will have live coverage from Gillespie coming up at 10:50 this morning right here on WQSMI FM 106. Thanks to Terry Tote and David Jenkins for calling in. Thanks to Randy Prangy for sitting in extra time here on WQSMI FM Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville. I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done.